So today is the day after Christmas, and I know how many of you are probably feeling. I feel this sense of, oh, it's over. I spent all this time preparing for Christmas, you know? I really start getting excited for Christmas around like the beginning of November. Sometimes in October, I already start putting Christmas decorations up. And I get so excited because it's such a nice time. It's a nice time. Here at FCC, we do a lot. We decorate and we get out all the decor that kind of makes us feel excited and festive because we know that this time is about celebrating. It's about celebrating our Savior, Jesus, who was born. And so it's so fun. It's so nice. The whole holiday season that we have is focused on the birth of Jesus. It's focused on joy. It's focused on peace and comfort and all these really sweet things. And it's also about giving. It's about love and hospitality and family. A lot of you probably spent Christmas with your families. I got to spend it with my wife, and we went to visit my family, my parents a little later in the day, and that was so wonderful, being able to enjoy our time with our family during this holiday season. And so Christmas was yesterday. We get the culmination of what we've been preparing for all these months. You may have been gift shopping pretty early. I started buying my Christmas gifts like early November because I wanted them out the way. I didn't want to have to worry about budgeting for them when it's already close to Christmas. I said, I'm getting them all now. I'm getting everyone marked down, and then I'm chilling all till Christmas. I'm relaxed. I'm good. And it was exciting. But then I have these months of, I got these gifts. I got some really cool gifts for my wife, and I was like, oh, she's going to love me. when she opens up these gifts, she's going to be so happy, and then I'm going to get a kiss, and it's going to be wonderful because she's so happy that I got her these gifts that were so thoughtful. And for many of you, you probably were excited to give your gifts, and a lot of you were also excited to get your gifts. Right? When I was younger, I remember being so excited because I knew there was a special toy or a video game that I just could not think of, like, I'm going to own this, and Christmas time, there's no way. This toy that I've wanted for months, I finally get to play with it on Christmas Day, and I would look forward to that. And so then Christmas morning hits, and so I go under the tree, and I see this box, and I'm like, all right, and I unwrap it. And there it is. It's the toy that I've wanted for months. And now it's in my possession. And I have it. And I can play with it. And I can use it. We get so excited about these gifts. But then what do we do with them? We want to use them. I got that toy. I'm not thinking, yeah, I'm going to put it back under the tree and go eat lunch. Unless my parents made me. Wait till later. But all I could be thinking about during that time is I can't wait to play with that. Some of you got some gifts yesterday that you probably wanted to use right away. Maybe you got a waffle maker, and you maybe you got a waffle maker, and you're like, "Whoa, I didn't know I really wanted this, but I want it now, and now I want waffles." I got my wife a couple boxes of candy that she really likes. It's the upper class candy. It's not the Hershey's. And so when she opens it, it's morning time. You know, it's pretty early. This isn't a good time to eat candy. It's not healthy for you this early in the morning. But when she opens up the candy, she's like, ooh, I want one. So even though it's not good for her, she wants to get in the candy because she got this gift. It's exciting and it's joyful to receive. So today I want to talk about what we do with the gifts that we receive. And sometimes it's a really good gift. Candy's good. Waffle makers are good. Sometimes it's really special. I'm sure that at some point in your life, you can remember a gift that was given to you. Maybe from a very close person, like your mom or dad, or a close friend of yours. And it's still something that you have today. Maybe it's an heirloom, a watch, but it's a gift that's so special to you. It's a really special gift because it's something you really wanted, or something that every time you use it or look at it, you remember the way that person loved you. You remember the joy of receiving this gift from that individual. Those gifts are really special. And we want to cherish those things. I know that the point of Christmas is really about the greatest gift that we've received, that Jesus was born and lived his life to give us the greatest gift. But we still want to cherish these gifts. Above all of these gifts, though, we cherish the greatest gift, which has come through Jesus. And so let's pray, and then we're going to dive into what that gift is. Let's pray. Lord, you have really blessed us with this time to spend with each other as a body of Christ, to spend with our family, our close friends, a time of excitement, a time of joy and comfort and all the wonderful things that comes during the Christmas season. But most importantly, Lord, we get to spend this time remembering your son Jesus, remembering his birth and ultimately his life and his death and then his resurrection. I pray, Lord, that today as we dive into your word, we cherish the gifts that you have given us and we use them, Lord, for your glory. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so the greatest gift that's ever been given, if you have your Bibles, open up to Romans chapter 6. It is on the screen, but if you have them, it's great to open up. Romans chapter 6. This is by far, I mean, waffle makers are cool, candy's cool. If you think of the best gift you ever had gotten in your life, those are really great, but this is far above it. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. Paul says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." The greatest gift ever given is that we can have eternal life because of Jesus Christ. There's nothing better. There's nothing else on this earth that even competes with this gift. And the word here that's used, I'm going to nerd out a little bit, but the word that's used here, there's a specific Greek word because the word gift has many different Greek words. When the Magi had given gifts to Jesus, that was a term called dora, which just meant a general present, like something you give that's just a simple gift, right? But this word used for gift is charisma. And this word implies a gift of grace. What that means is this gift is something that we do not deserve whatsoever. There's nothing we could do to earn it. No matter how good we are, we don't deserve it, because we still have sin. And that's why in Romans 5, verse 8, Paul says that God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This gift was not given while we were righteous. This gift was not given while we were good people. It's kind of like if when I was a kid, that toy that I really wanted, if I asked my mom for that, but then I spent the entire year being naughty, right? I spent the entire year being disrespectful to my mom, rude, failing my grades. I probably don't deserve that gift that I really want. However, the greatest gift that's ever been given to mankind is eternal life through believing in Christ Jesus. And he has given this gift to the whole world. It says that Christ is the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, the sins of the whole world, which means this gift is freely available to everyone. And there's nothing that anyone has done to earn it or deserve it. That's love. It's the greatest gift. However, what do we do with this gift? It's given to everyone, but the reason not everyone has eternal life is because not everyone receives this gift. If you leave a gift under the tree, it does nothing. You gotta unwrap it, you gotta take it, you gotta receive the gift. And that's why in John chapter 1, verse 12, John says, "But as many as received him," Jesus, "to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name." You have to turn away from your sins and receive the free gift of eternal life by trusting in Jesus. You may have head knowledge of Jesus. You may have heard about Jesus or learned about Jesus through a church, through a preacher. None of that matters if you never receive him as your Savior. I want to clarify this because there may be someone here today or online watching who has never received Jesus as their Savior. That gift is available for you, and it's the greatest gift ever. We want you to know, trust, believe, and receive salvation through Jesus. The beautiful part about this is it's the gift that keeps on giving. It doesn't just stop. You know, it's already the greatest gift that we, even though we're in our sin, deserve death, we obtain eternal life through Jesus Christ. He does more. He keeps giving us more. In that verse that I shared from John, we're told that we become children of God. We are adopted into his family. What a gift. We get to be children of the holy, perfect, loving creator of the universe. What a gift. That's insane. And he does even more than that. In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter says, "Repent, each of you. Be baptized in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." When we turn away from our sins and accept Christ as our Savior, we also get the gift of the Holy Spirit. Part of the Trinity indwells us. God is in us and working through us. What a gift. And it doesn't stop there. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, we're told that we have new life in Christ Jesus. We're made a new creation. The old is done away with, and he makes us new, being formed in his image. We receive the greatest love that's ever been known. In John 15:13, we're told that there's no greater love than this, that a man would die for his friend. Jesus did that for his enemies. Jesus died for us when we were enemies of God. We receive the greatest love ever known. We receive joy and peace that is beyond comprehension, that can only come through Jesus. Nothing else in this world will give us the joy and peace that comes from salvation in Jesus. And we receive purpose. Purpose. Ephesians 2:10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship." If you don't know the word workmanship means there, it really means masterpiece. We are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. And so when we're made a new creation in Jesus, he does this, he brings us to new life in him for good works. Then it says, which he prepared beforehand, that we would walk in them. God doesn't just want to give you a hell-free pass. He wants to save your life for eternity, bring you to new life, give you purpose, serving him, doing the works that he prepared for you. The gift keeps on giving. Every day in Christ Jesus is a new gift and is a new blessing where we get to serve our Savior and glorify God. When I was at Word of Life Bible Institute, that was when the Lord had really grabbed a hold of my heart. I was a believer at the age of 15. That's when I accepted Christ as my Savior. I received the gift of eternal life. But when I was at Word of Life Bible Institute, I realized that my life was not being lived for Christ. I had received this gift of eternal life, but I was ignoring all the other gifts he had offered me, like living for him. And so after the Lord had grabbed a hold of my heart and changed me and turned me away from my past sins, and I had given my life to him and said, "Lord, I'm ready to serve you however which way you want," I noticed a struggle of, well, where does that mean? Like, where do I go? What's the details? And many of you probably relate to that. We're like, I want to live for Jesus, but how? What's the next step? What's the direction? And so we pray, "Lord, what is your will for my life? Please give me instruction." There's this general will that is given to us in Scripture, but what are the specifics? We want to know the details. We want to know where to go. Well, luckily for us, we have been given a cheat code, is what I call it. I call it a cheat code for living for Jesus. And it is a thing called spiritual gifts. These are more gifts that the Lord gives us that help direct us into the specific ways that the Lord wants to use us. When I was at Word of Life, it was after I had surrendered my life to Christ. I was in second year, and we had a class on spiritual gifts. And this is when I started to get it. Oh, Well, this is, you know, this is how the Lord is directing me in ministry. This is the specific ways he wants to use me in the church. I started finding out what my spiritual gift was, but that was a process. I first had to figure out what exactly are spiritual gifts. Well, if you turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we're going to be there. And on the board, there's a list of spiritual gifts from Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 are two of the main passages on gifts. There's some others, but here are a list of some of the gifts. So if you turn to 1 Corinthians 12, here in verse 4, oh, wait a second. I hear pages turning. All right, here in verse 4, Paul says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of ministries, and the same Lord. There are varieties of effects, but the same God who works all things in all persons. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." If you go on to verse 11, after covering some of these gifts, these specific spiritual gifts, in verse 11, he says, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as he wills." And so spiritual gifts are these specific gifts that are given to us from the Holy Spirit. Now remember, we get the gift of the Holy Spirit when we accept Christ as our Savior. He indwells us. And then the Holy Spirit gives us specific spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts are for a specific purpose. That purpose is for serving the church, finding out where exactly I serve. Now, there's an easy confusion when I look at that list that you could see on the screen. When I look at that list, I remember when I was looking for spiritual gifts, I think, all right, well, I'm pretty good at leadership. And at the time, when I was in high school, I was in JROTC, and I had taken classes on leadership, and so I knew the topic of leadership. I had opportunity to lead, and so I knew how to lead. I understood how leadership worked, and I was pretty good at it because I had trained in it. So I thought, maybe that's my spiritual gift. I found out that was not my spiritual gift. Although it was something I was good at, it was not my spiritual gift. And so there is a difference between talents or things that we're trained in, and gifts that are from the Spirit for the use of the church. There is a difference. I thought, maybe my giftedness is administrative. That is not my gift. Anyone who knows me knows that is absolutely not my gift. I learned that very quickly. And I look at that list and I'm like, all right, well, what is my gift? And when I was at Word of Life, I thought, all right, well, how do I figure this out? So I sought out peers. I sought out my friends who see me in ministry, see the way that I serve. And I said, hey, what do you see? What gifts do you think the Lord may have given me? That's a helpful way to figure out some of your gifts. But I also sought out my leaders, my disciplers, those who were pouring into me and could kind of see from a perspective of, you know, people who love me and were pouring into me. And I sought them out. What do you think my spiritual gifts are? However, some of those gifts I couldn't even figure out until I tried them out. Unless I'm serving in ministry and trying out these different gifts, I couldn't figure them out. And so through working in different ministries, praying consistently, I took a spiritual gifts test online, which I highly recommend, by the way. I wouldn't live by it. I would use it as a resource. But I took a spiritual gifts test online, sought out counsel from those around me, and I served in different ministries, and I came to find that I was gifted in preaching, teaching. I would have never guessed that. At the time, when I looked at that list, I thought, well, preaching and teaching is for the people who are smarter than me. It's for the people who are wiser than me. It's for the people who grew up in the church and knew all the answers in Awana, who memorized more scripture and knew the Bible better. The Lord humbled me and showed me, no, I'm going to use you how I see fit. In fact, the word for spiritual gift that we get here in 1 Corinthians 12 is the same word that we got earlier in Romans 6, charisma. And so we know that spiritual gifts are a gift of grace. It's something we get that we don't deserve. I didn't work to be a preacher teacher, although it's something that I do want to keep seeking the Lord in to grow in. I want to grow in my gifts. It was a gift of grace. I wish he had given me administrative skills too. That'd be really nice. But but I learn in those things. All of these things we want to grow in. And the reason I'm telling you all this is because this is the easy way to figure out how does the Lord want to use you in the church and for his ministry. And after I found out my giftedness, I came home from Word of Life and I asked the pastors here at FCC, the preachers, I said, hey, I think this is where the Lord is leading me. I think this is where he has gifted me. I want to grow in it. I want to humbly seek him and use this gift. And it's been about 5 years now, and I've been very, very blessed. And oh my goodness, is it joyful. These gifts are not given for responsibility or for heartache of, oh, I gotta serve this way. These gifts are given so that we can joyfully serve our Savior. It's wonderful. So spiritual gifts really are the cheat code. If you're looking at the screen, you've probably noticed that some of these gifts are yellow. In the first service, they were red, but they weren't very visible, so we changed it to yellow. I had separated some of these gifts and put them in yellow. When you look at these passages and you see these are gifts that in today's church culture would be considered controversial. Different churches have actually split over how they interpret the usage of these gifts. I wish that I had another whole sermon to talk about all the nuances and differences of these gifts. However, I'm going to give a brief overview. These gifts are in yellow because they are specifically sign gifts, miraculous gifts. And I want to explain that these gifts were used in the early church age for a specific purpose. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 12:12, Paul says, the distinguishing marks of a true apostle were performing among you with all perseverance by signs, wonders, and miracles. And so these gifts that you see on the screen, healing, miracles, speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues, prophecy, these gifts were gifts that were specifically for the apostles and other special people that the Lord was using in the early church age to prove that they were apostles. They were ones who were leading and starting the early church, and they were discipling others, and they also were writing scripture and giving God's word. And so the Lord had to use these sign gifts at the time to prove that they were really of the Lord. At the time, there was also false apostles. There were people who claimed to be apostles and go around and led churches incorrectly. And so these gifts help prove, no, these are the true apostles of God. And so the reason that I'm sharing this distinction is because these sign gifts, they were for the use of apostles at the time. We don't have apostles today. The Lord works differently in today's church than he did in the early church age because we have the entire revealed word of God in Scripture. The Lord doesn't have to reveal himself through prophetic word anymore because he's done so in the word of God. And so there are some differences. You've probably been to other churches that use sign gifts, speak in tongues, or so forth. However, a distinction you'll see is when people, a lot of times in today's culture, when you see these sign gifts used, they're used in a very different way than what was used in Scripture. And so again, they were used for a specific purpose of that time, and I just wanted to make that distinction as we talk about spiritual gifts. But the Lord, and I also want to clarify, the Lord is absolutely doing miracles today. I want to make that clear. The Lord is absolutely doing miracles today. The Lord is absolutely healing people today. We pray for the Lord to heal those that we care and those that we know and love. The Lord is more powerful than we can imagine. I'm not at all trying to limit him. He is doing these works today in today's church age. He just isn't using the body in the same way that he was using the apostles then. And so that's the difference. But here is a list of a lot of the spiritual gifts. I hope that you can take down these passages and see the spiritual gifts, examine them, and ask the Lord, where am I gifted? And so we talked a bit about the purpose of these gifts. There are three main purposes that I wanted to touch on for spiritual gifts. The first one is that individuals in the body of Christ would know how to work together. When we get spiritual gifts listed in 1 Corinthians 12, later on in verse 15, I'll start in 14, Paul says, for the body is not one member, but many. If the foot says, because I am not a hand, I am not a part of the body, it is not for this reason any less a part of the body? And if the ear says, because I am not an eye, I am not a part of the body, is it not for this reason any the less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But now God has placed the members, each one of them, in the body just as he desired. One of the main purposes of spiritual gifts is to show each of us individuals in the church body what part of the body we are, so that we can work in unity. Even though we're different, I'm able to preach and teach. I praise the Lord, but I cannot function without someone like Stephen Ryan who works well administratively. Or with someone like Will Bethard who has the gift of helps and works in the deacon department. We need to work together to serve Jesus as one body using the different gifts that the Lord has given us. And so this is really for the service of the church to work as one body and in unity together. Another purpose of spiritual gifts, in 1 Corinthians 14:12, Paul says, so you too, since you are eager to possess spiritual gifts, strive to excel for the edification of the church. Spiritual gifts are meant to edify the body of Christ, to lift each other up, to encourage one another in serving Christ Jesus. Spiritual gifts are not meant to hound or put down or pressure anyone. It's meant to encourage. That's what they're for. And one of the main purposes, I'd say this is the main purpose of spiritual gifts, is in 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the multifaceted grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking actual words of God. And whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies. And here comes the purpose. So that in all things, God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's our main purpose for having spiritual gifts. You want a cheat code for how to glorify God the best way possible? He's telling us, use the gifts that I have given you. Use them for my glory and my work in your life. It's a beautiful thing. And so, again, I'll bring back the question, what do we do with all these gifts? On Christmas morning, it was exciting to have these gifts, and we want to use them. We want to enjoy them. If I had given Brittany those chocolates and she said, oh, I'm okay, I actually don't like that one. Oh, my soul would have been so hurt. That would have been rough. But she didn't. She ate them and she enjoyed them. Well, guess what? I felt good that she enjoyed the gift that I gave her. The Lord has given us so many gifts. We've listed all of them today. And he is blessed, joyful, and glorified when we enjoy these gifts. They're for a great purpose. And so I want to encourage you again, if you're in this crowd and you have not received the greatest gift, eternal life through Jesus Christ, please talk to us after. I'm here. We got some elders here. There's other pastors here. I'd say anyone in this body would love to tell you more about Jesus and help you know how to receive Jesus as your Savior. So please talk to us. We want you to receive the greatest gift and all the other gifts that come with it. And for us who already know Jesus Christ and have received that gift, I want to encourage you to seek out your spiritual gifts. If you don't know what your spiritual gift is, like I said, there's many avenues. I can help point you to an online test. If you Google spiritual gifts test, a bunch will pop up. Some might have sign gifts on there. I took one time that told me I was a prophet. Is what it is. the second one was preaching, teaching. So there we go. All right. So there's a spiritual gifts test online, but also talk with the church. Talk with your elders. Talk with your peers. Talk with your ministry leaders to help you figure out what your spiritual gift is. Because once you serve with that gift, it's going to be much more joyful. It's going to be much more exciting. And my last encouragement is for all of us to, I know I keep saying this, but I want to really hit the nail home here. Enjoy the gifts that the Lord has given you. Enjoy them. I can tell you, I am so blessed to be able to preach the Word of God, and I'm humbled. It's an incredible privilege, and it is an incredible joy. And not just me, I'm sure that Stephen Ryan, when he gets to prepare these services, he feels incredibly blessed. I'm sure when Will Bethard helps move tables and chairs for an event, he feels incredibly blessed. In all the different ways that we serve, it is such a joy to use the gifts that the Lord has given us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, and we can't thank you enough for all the different gifts that you've given us. The fact that we are not only saved from our sins, which have broken our relationship with you, you have redeemed us and brought us back into correct relationship with you, Lord, and you have given us your Spirit, you've given us adoption into your family, you've given us joy, you've given us peace and comfort and contentment. Lord, so many gifts. And you've given this to the whole world. I pray that you bring others who don't know you to the knowledge of your Son Jesus, that they may know this gift and receive this gift. And I pray that our church body here would take the gifts that you've given us, the spiritual gifts that you've given us through your Spirit, and use them joyfully to serve and glorify you. Thank you, Lord, for all these gifts. Thank you for this body. Thank you for your Son, Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we pray all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.